And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience, our DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day. The last one to lose. The last one to lose. Also, we're going to look at the four F's. Now, for those of you that had a bad thought right there, that just shows your heart's not pure. Also, we're going to review what it means to do something unique called Let's Have Lunch. And then we'll close it out with In the Boat with God.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at. During the show, lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Notice how I went up. See? Surviving, living, prevailing. Got it? Politics, nope, I'm done. Sorry, I don't care. Nope, I want to stay current, I'll hang out with Jesus. Entertainment and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, the people in the control room are dancing, and robo-producer is pretending like he's hitting a baseball, obviously a Padre. Ladies and gentlemen, whoa, way so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473. 866-K-PRAISE. Remember, any topic is technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. That's just not professional radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. Here on AM 1210 K-PRAISE, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back, but stand by.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station. AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
The belief in the existence of evil is the line in the sand in all political discourse. This is Jim Garlow. Some politicians actually believe that the reason Islamists destroy others and themselves is because of external issues such as poverty. They can't bring themselves to believe these people would possibly be evil. Commentator Dennis Prager says, if the West does not begin to recognize evil, judge it, and confront it, it will find itself incapable of fighting those who would destroy us. You can't address the problem if you deny there is one. 1 Peter 2:16 says, live as free men, but do not use your freedom as the cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. Evil exists, frankly, in all of us, you and me. And it has to be dealt with. And the restraining of evil includes trying to restrain evil in government itself. Be well-versed at jimgarlow.com.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of White Fields Ministry. Since 1953, White Fields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to White Fields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. A couple things to run in your direction. Let's see, people that are running in your direction, that's one thing. Second thing, if you have had a tough church experience, you can go to churchdisappointment.com or hisappointment.com. Pick up the book. It's a not-profit book. The reason that there's money built into it at this point is to pay for the shipping and the production of it. So we were checking our records, and we have made a whopping $53 versus the $5,000, because we don't take any profit. We take all the money that's made and put it right back into giving more books and giving them out. So if you get a chance, check it out. I think it's a firm read. That's what I would say. You have to get into it and kind of dive in with all your might. But then that's kind of like the show. You hear it a couple times, you're thinking, whack-a-doodle. But then you stick around, you listen to a little bit, you go, okay, well, I could use that one piece and that one piece. Hopefully the book is like that. Then the last thing to tell you is our Facebook, the David Spoon Experience, our Facebook page, which is no different than the Facebook post that I read once every day. You know, I'm just letting you know. And Twitter, I think there's something attached to it, but I have no idea. I am a social media genius because I don't do anything on social media. Thank you very much. All right. Let's get into our very first review. That's what I'm going to call this. And do we have a sound for the last one to lose? I'm a loser. I'm a loser. That's it? That was it. Okay. I'm just making sure that there was nothing else. That was the whole. All right. What does that mean? And am I calling people a loser? Well, if you listen to this show, I think you know the answer to that. Mark chapter 8, verse 27 through 33. Jesus went out along with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he questioned his disciples, saying to them, "Who do people say that I am?" They told him, saying, "John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, but others are one of the prophets." And he continued by questioning them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered and said to him, "You are the Christ." And he warned them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he was stating the matter plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning around and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but on man's." I want you to understand that in this situation, in the beginning of this situation, Peter is the man. Jesus asks a very pertinent question. Who do people say I am? So they're giving him all these answers. And then Peter, and they're all filling in the answers. Then Jesus says to Peter and the disciples, "Who do you say I am?" And let me make this remark before we go on. No matter where you're at in life, that is a question you will have to answer. Who do you say that Jesus Christ is? Because that question, whether you've answered that yet or not, you will be answering that question on a very particular day. It may be the day that the Lord calls you personally home. It may be the day of judgment. It may be the day that he brings all of his church before him. But you are going to answer that question. Who do you say Jesus is? That's coming your way. So you better have an answer that lines up with what the Father has communicated. And then Peter comes up with what? The great answer. Matthew records it as well. I mean, the way that it's recorded is so powerful. "Who do you say I am?" Peter goes, "You are the Christ." Right? In Matthew, it talks about building the church. That's right, Peter. "And on this Petra, I will build my church. For those that get confused about that, Peter is a stone. That's what the word means. But when Jesus said on this rock, that was a bed stone. In other words, a whole bunch of stones put together. So Peter was, in fact, one of the rocks, but so were all the other people. Yes, I know there's a lot of people that teach it, it's the confession, and it most likely is connected to that, but the words Jesus used were rock and bedstone. You can't change that. That's what the words were used. So Peter did a fabulous job. I mean, fantastic. I mean, he gets something for that. That's he gets a bonus for that. Then what happened? So Jesus starts telling them plainly, okay, look, I'm going to be rejected by the elders and by chief priests and scribes, and I'm going to be killed, and 3 days later, I'm going to rise again. So what does Peter do? Peter goes, Jesus, you know, I had the last right answer in the group, and now let me set you straight because apparently you're going wayward. And the reason I'm telling you that is because my head is so puffed up because I had one really good answer, and now I'm going to tell you, the Son of God, how it goes. So Peter moves from winner to loser. Just that fast. And before you think it doesn't happen that way, how many times have you said something great to your spouse to be followed by something absolutely idiotic? How many? Don't tell me you've... Don't even look at your fingers and your toes. Get the calculator. How many times as a son or a daughter or as a parent or as a brother or as a sister have you said and done the right thing only to be followed by the oops? I mean, come on. So Peter did the same thing. Like, hey, you are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Oh, that's awesome. And then Jesus goes on to teach more. And then Peter's going, well, let me correct you now. Since I had such a good first answer, let me set you straight. Jesus turns and says to him this incredible statement. And a lot of people miss what's going on. Peter took him aside, began to rebuke him. Turning around and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. Now, was Jesus calling Peter the personification of Satan? No. Look at what Jesus defined was the part that was connected to Satan. You are not setting your mind on God's interests. The part that was connected to Satan was the process of thought that took Peter away from the interests of God and to his own personal interests. That's what Jesus identifies as influenced by Satan with the fingerprints of Satan. And people are like, well, he can't influence our minds. What do you think temptation is? Do you think it's a chocolate cake that comes down on a little tray and says, oh, eat me, and then goes back up and then comes down and goes back up and comes down, and that's what temptation is? Where do you think Satan tempts you? Do you think he tempts you in your earwax? He tempts you in your thoughts. When Jesus made reference to the fact that inward thoughts could put a person in liability for adultery, what do you think the enemy's going to do? And we talk about it a lot. Guys walking down the street, sees a beautiful girl. Oh, she's beautiful. And then Satan comes in, yeah, and you really just want to be with her, don't you? And it's like, yeah, I just want to be with her. And then it's like it all builds. And what you should be saying is, no, I don't want to be with her. I have a fantastic person. No, I'm steadfast. I'm right where I'm at. This is part of that war. And if you don't think that war is going on, you're lying. Because that happens to men and women and kids. You think, oh, that doesn't happen to kids. Really? Let me ask you a question. Where does that first lie come from? Did you teach it to them? Oh, I was just curious. I thought I'd just check. Did you sit down and say, little Johnny, here's what I want you to do. I want you to lie your brains out. Oh, you didn't do that? Oh, you mean your kid did that all by himself? Well, it's fascinating, isn't it? The point is, it's when our mindsets get off of God into our own self-centered, self-initiated interests, much like Adam and Eve when they ate the fruit, when Satan simply said, you eat this, you'll be just like God. They were like, all right, I'm in. Therein lies the problem. When our mindset goes to us as opposed to honoring God, we open that door for satanic influence. Yep. What do you think's going on in the world today? A lot of these people have no idea, but you do. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and come back. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Look out. Is this another real estate bubble? Hey, KPRZ friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. The answer? I don't know. No one really knows. But here's what we do know. Home prices go up and home prices go down. We also know that right now home prices are way up. This could be a great time to cash in and get top dollar for your home. If you're considering selling and want to know what your home is really worth, call me now. There's no cost or obligation. I'll come out and give you a real home pricing evaluation. You don't have to hire me. Just give me a chance to earn your business. Or maybe you know someone considering a move. Send them my way. I'm a brother in Christ, and I always donate to ministry at closing on behalf of my KPRZ clients. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just go to thinksam.com, thinksam.com.
An educated Indian from Calcutta, upon reading the first chapter of Romans, commented, "The man who wrote that certainly knew India." Hello, I'm Chuck Swindoll. Let me add, the writer of Romans certainly knew Americans. He knew Europe. He knew Africa. The first chapter of Romans chronicles a slide into debauchery that has been illustrated on every continent of this world. Give people their own way, and it will not be long before there is anarchy and murder and rape. But the sin list of Romans 1 is no surprise to the Redeemer. This is why he came. He paid sin's price to free us from slavery to that list.
Pastor and teacher Chuck Swindoll. Visit Insight for Living's website at insight.org.
This is John MacArthur. Join me for today's Portraits of Grace. I hope you're confident in the infallibility of God's Word. If you are, that means you trust in the Bible to give you wise counsel everywhere. That was the psalmist's confidence when he wrote, "Establish thy word to thy servant as that which produces reverence for thee. Turn away my reproach which I dread, for thine ordinances are good. Do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I wait for thine ordinances. So I will keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will also speak of thy testimonies before kings and shall not be ashamed, and I shall delight in thy commandments which I love." May that be your confidence as well. This is John MacArthur, encouraging you to live as portraits of grace.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station. This could happen to me. Was an upright man, thought I made a stand.
But now I'm down on my knees. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station. Here in San Diego, California. All right, let's talk about this. For those that are listening to the replay, this traffic report does not apply to you. For those that are in traffic right now, there is a lot of traffic. Okay, that's your traffic report. Also, the weather report, there's a lot of weather. Got both of those going. Let's talk about what happened with Peter, where Jesus got to the point where he had to rebuke him and charge his mind process for being under influence that is not healthy. What happened is the priority for God was challenged by the priority for self. That's a dangerous place for us to be as believers. We want to make sure that the Lord is, you know, our passion. And it's not that you don't have any self-interest. Don't misunderstand. It's just that the priorities and the elements of God have a greater weight in your heart and mind than your own. So in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, you're going to hear about the four F's. The four F's are for, F-O-R, for faith, family, and friends. For faith, family, and friends, I'm going to give you what will be absolutely one of the best things you can utilize. It's one of the best things for marriages, one of the best things for family, and one of the best things for friendship you can ever utilize in your life. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks among the seven gold lampstands, says, I know your works, your labor, and your endurance, that you cannot tolerate evil. You've tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars. You also possess endurance and have tolerated many things because of my name, and you've not grown weary. But I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember then how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. Otherwise, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. This is a very cool portion. A lot of people kind of miss one of the key elements Jesus gives us. He says, first and foremost, I know. I know your works. I know your labor. I know your endurance. I know you don't like people that are messy. I know what you've gone through. You know, you've not grown weary. You've stayed firm. You're right in there. Your faith is good. I know all of that. I know. There is nothing that you go through that Jesus does not know. There is nothing that is catching Jesus by surprise. Jesus is not up there going, what? This happened to Dave? What? That doesn't happen. Right? That's not how that goes. He knows what's going on. Okay? That's the whole thing with God and omniscience and knowing everything. But he gives you kind of a formula in the middle of this. He says, I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. So for those that are not aware, it is not the Greek word lost. It is the Greek word left. And there's a difference. People will say, well, you know, remember that song by the, I can't remember which band it was, but the famous band, You've Lost That Love and Feeling? The Righteous Brothers. The Righteous Brothers did the first one, which, by the way, John Wimber was a drummer for the Righteous Brothers during Vegas. And then Hall & Oates did the remake on that, which sold like a bazillion, did really well. But the idea is, you've lost that love and feeling. And you know what? That originally came out of the King James Version where, you know, you've lost your love. But that's incorrect. The word is left. And there's a difference between losing it and leaving it. When you lose it, I can't find it. When you leave it, you walked. Get that difference? So, isn't that good? In every relationship, Jesus says these three things are what are necessary to get it all back, right? To get it back. Well, what are the three things, Jesus, that you tell us to do? The first thing is you remember how far you have fallen. Now, what does that mean to you and I in practicality? Well, from the relationship with God point of view, it's the remember how close you were, how passionate you were, how much you loved reading the Bible, how much you liked going to church. Remember how it was all so fresh and every time you'd open up the book, there was something that would speak to you and, oh, you're just freaking out. Oh, it's so great. Well, Jesus tells it, remember that. And if you're in a relationship and you're having a hard time, I got a message for you. Remember the beginning? Remember how you felt? Remember how the sunset looked different? How every love song on the radio was now written specifically for you? Okay. Now, you know that part's not true, but what you do know, even though you might think that. What you do know is that we're supposed to remember that, not forget that. That's a good thing to remember. There are things to remember and things to forget. That great part of your relationship, that's something to remember. And then Jesus says this, repent. This is not some guy walking around with a sign around his body that says, repent, the end of the world is coming. The word repent means to change direction. In other words, you're heading in a direction in this particular relationship, first and foremost with God, second with spouses, third with family, fourth with friends. You're heading in a direction of this relationship that is not going to benefit you or the person involved with you. It's going to go the wrong way. And you got to change that. So you have to remember where you are at, and then you have to make the decision to change that. And that's the biggest problem in marriages today, Christian or not, that people will know and even think about how great it was, but not make a decision to change. And if you're not going to make a change, it's not going to get better. It doesn't get better by osmosis. It doesn't get better because you eat cheesecake. It's not that cheesecake is bad. I'm a big fan. The point is that you have to remember where it was and then change direction. That's the second thing. So the first one's remember. The second one's repent. And the third one is what Jesus says. And do the works you did at first. So now let's look at that. We have to remember how great it was. Repent. Make the decision to change the direction. And return. Remember, repent, and return. Now, what do you mean return? Well, in regards to the Lord, it's simple. You used to cut time out of your schedule to spend with God. Well, you got to do that again. You got to remember how good it was. You got to change direction and go back to what you were doing in the beginning. Okay. In regards to relationship with spouses and a relationship in the honeymoon and all that, yeah, remember what you did? You wrote little letters, you bought flowers, you did special little unspoken things, all those little things. And then once you get married, I don't got to do that anymore. I already won her. Yeah, dum-dum, you're supposed to win her every day. You know what, lady? You're supposed to win your husband every day. This isn't a once and done. This is a lifetime. So you do the things you did at first. If you remember how great it was, if you acknowledge you need to make a decision and change directions, and you do what you did in the beginning, it changes everything. Now, that's true for your relationship with the Lord. It's true with your relationship with your spouse. It's true with your relationship with your family. And it's true with your relationship with your friends. Remember, repent, and return. That's what we need to do to get the restoration that we're all hoping for. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station where my voice is cracking, here in San Diego, California. You're going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210, KPRZ, the Christian station.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him.
When Da Ai Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, "I will never believe your God and change my religion." But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Our fast-paced lifestyles can cause us to lose touch with a powerful spiritual discipline, the discipline of meditation on God and His Word. The great English statesman Edmund Burke said, "To read without reflecting is like eating without digesting." Biblical meditation is nothing more than dwelling upon God and His words and works. Of course, we can think about God at any time, but reflection or meditation is different in that we set aside extended quiet time to dwell upon God in His presence. The psalmist David wrote about using the quiet of the evening hours as a time to meditate upon God. This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover how to meditate upon God on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
This is David Davenport of the Hoover Institution for townhall.com. This summer, Commentary Magazine published a forum on the question, is free speech under threat in the United States? Ironically, in a country where the Constitution and the courts carefully protect free speech, many people do not feel free to speak freely. Why? Because of a smothering blanket of political correctness that starts in our colleges and permeates our society. Speakers with points of view that differ from the liberal orthodoxy are not welcome on many campuses, and in some cases, they've been subject to threats and violence. Students are supposed to be protected from so-called trigger words and microaggressions in the classroom. So much for free speech and the open debate of competing ideas. The problem is that the First Amendment protects free speech from limitations by government, but the big challenges to free speech come from our culture and our campuses. It will take a strong fight to protect free speech, which is clearly under threat. I'm David Davenport.
Learn more at townhallreview.com.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Breaking out.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. We have been diving in. I like what Tugboat Todd said. We have been punching the enemy in the nose on this one because it's important for people to have the info they need to have to recognize, one, that our priorities have to be surrendered to God's priorities, period. There's no... Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. So, that's number one. Number two, we reviewed the F's on relationship. Remember, repent, return, that we need to, then that's four. Faith, family, and friends need to remember where we was, repent, which is change direction, and then return. Go back to the things that we were doing at first. This segment is called Let's Have Lunch.
Dave, do you want to get together over the weekend?
You know what? I'll have my people get in touch with your people, and we'll do lunch. Does that sound good? All right. This is important to understand. You need to have lunch with God. That's a great conference. Lunch with God, right? Now, what am I talking about? Well, we talked about how important it was to understand God's priorities, and then we talked about how important it was to have that relationship with God in the context of remembering where you were with God, repent, change, which means make a decision to change, and then return and do the things you did at first. But I want you to catch this thing that Jesus said, and it's a tough one for a lot of believers. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, evildoers. Now, what is that? That is horrendous. Jesus is asking a very interesting question for people that are doing works in his name. He says, who are you? Those are people that are doing things in the name of Jesus Christ. who don't even know Jesus Christ. Man, I can put up 10, 11, 12, 50, 100, 300, 500, 700, 2,000 politicians that say, we're doing this in the name of God to be good people. They don't even know who Jesus is. People say, well, if, you know, Jesus cares more about climate change than he does abortion. You know, the person who said that, the person who suffers tremendously from deficiency, that person wouldn't know Jesus if Jesus sat next to her and just started talking. Wouldn't know Jesus at all, ever. Because to say something like that is to demonstrate she doesn't know him. Oh, Jesus doesn't care about babies. Oh, I got this little portion of scripture for you to look at. That the children are so important that their angels are closest to the Father. Uh-oh. There's some problems with the way that people come off and present themselves like they represent Jesus Christ. It's not just politicians. There are people in ministry that try to represent Jesus Christ. When a ministry goes bad and a pastor does something wrong and they fall and they repent and they look for redemption, that person is not faking it. They fell into sin. That's a substantial difference than somebody who's faking it. And Paul talks about people who are faking it in Philippians chapter 1. And Jesus makes it clear. You can't be doing stuff in my name and not know who I am. You can't just use my name for your benefit. Listen, for you who are a believer and you're sitting there saying, well, does that apply to me? Let me ask you a simple question. When you recognize that you want to or need to have a better relationship with Jesus Christ, doesn't that already tell you you're genuine? Doesn't that tell you? You wouldn't care if you weren't a believer. You wouldn't care otherwise. But because you care, that's the definition. Because it's important to you, that should give you some comfort. But if there's an operation taking place and they're using the name of Christ and they don't know him, well, that's not good. I want to make sure you understand where this comes from. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34 through 40. I'm not going to read all of it, but here's what it says. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And in fact, as you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four are oriented towards the individual and God, and the last six are oriented towards the neighbors, right? So it's loving God and loving your neighbors. Not complex, but there is a problem with some people that they are not recognizing that the first commandment, Jesus said, which is the greatest, is to love God. First, I cannot stress this enough. The reason it's the first and greatest commandment is because it's first. You want to know what the first one is? The first one. You want to know which one has priority? The first one. You want to know what the top four commandments are for? The first one. Yeah, it's just as clear as can be. Some people in a community where they name the name of Christ will say, well, you can only, you know, love God by loving your neighbor. That is 1,000% incorrect. That is a method to demonstrate the love of God. But your passion and your love and your relationship with God are within the framework of you and God and that thing called fellowship or communion. And Jesus Christ has made a way for you and I to access that communion 24/7. So there is no excuse for us not to spend time with God. And that relationship, that communion, that fellowship is essential for you to know Jesus and for Jesus to spend time with you. And you can dodge, you can do all the stuff you want. It's not going to matter one whit because Jesus, the one thing that you don't want to hear Jesus say is, who are you? That just means that they've spent no time with Jesus. Like, that's a bad plan. Bad plan. You understand? Bad plan. Here is yet another reason why the enemy tries to make the Word of God so difficult for people. Oh, it's so hard to read the Bible. I can read a TV magazine. I can read a sports magazine. I can read a magazine on cigars, on food, on architecture, on real estate. But I can't read the Bible. Wow. But yet, if a Martian came down and gave you the Book of Mars, I bet you'd read that, right? Well, how about the creator of all the universe giving you a book to read? Who would not want you to read that? Wait, Satan would not want you to read that. Oh, there you go. Because when Jesus and Satan went at it, what did Jesus use? The scriptures. So there's a deep plan here. There's a deep process here. It's all connected. And it's really important. I mean, you hear me stress this, and it's like people are like, well, I want to be uplifted. Trust me, this is more important for your eternity than any kind of attaboy. This is like the stuff. You have to love God first with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And I always break those down because I like the way it sounds. With all your hearts, all your feelings, all your passions, all your emotions, all your inner being. With all your heart, with all your soul, which is who you are, your personality. With all your strength, which is your physical strength. And with all your mind, which is like upstairs, you know, in the closet upstairs between the left and right ear. All of that goes to God first, and then the other stuff. And if you do love God first, you have a much better opportunity of fulfilling loving your neighbor as you love yourself, because you have a better understanding of who you are and what should and shouldn't be involved with. And that's how you can treat your neighbor, knowing that communion with God. Everything flows off of the relationship that goes north-south. That helps you connect the relationships that go east-west. North, south, east, west. Put them together, you got a cross. Oh, interesting. Here is something you should recognize. Love God first. That's what we're called to. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. You're going to take a short break, come back with a close. Don't go anywhere. Use me, 'cause in his hands I'm changing
to a servant of God. It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Have you seen someone who was destined to change the world? Have you looked in the mirror? San Diego Christian College will educate and inspire you through the truth of Scripture and the development of skills that will prepare you to impact the world. It sounds like a life well lived, and it can be your life if you take the right path. San Diego Christian College is here to help you become culturally and globally involved with personalized one-on-one attention in a Christ-centered, affordable, and convenient setting. You've been wanting to do something meaningful with your life. San Diego Christian College will help, from Christian ministry to business to teaching, from a bachelor's degree in business management to a master's of science in business. San Diego Christian College will help you succeed with affordable and convenient classes both on campus and online. Get your degree on your schedule. San Diego Christian College in Santee near the Trolley Center and online at sdcc.edu. Truth, purpose, impact. San Diego Christian College.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins shared his thoughts on the involvement of faith-based organizations in dealing with America's drug crisis.
Folks, we have a critical role to play, and this is one of the reasons I think in this administration we're seeing this already in the Department of Health and Human Services, where in their contracting and reaching out with nonprofits, non-government organizations to work with, they are turning to faith-based type of organizations to work with them. So this is not a time to shrink back, not a time to be silent, not a time to, you know, say, you know, I don't want to create waves. No, now's the time to create waves so we can bring truth into this discussion. And there is a spiritual side of the drug crisis in America.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Friends, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Where in the first hour of this show, I spilled tea all over my leg and it is starting to dry out. I'm thankful for that because I'm going to have a long drive home. That part's good. We have been talking about understanding our priorities versus God's priorities. And when you operate in our priorities, you're not operating in His priorities. And we have a very simple definition for that. Dumb, 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 dumb. Then we talked about the relationship core, Jesus using Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 through 7, the church at Laodicea, understanding that He said, look, you have forsaken, left your first love, not lost, left. So He tells us to remember where we were, repent, which is make the decision to change directions, and return to the things that we did in the beginning. In the very last segment, we talked about Jesus teaching in Matthew chapter 7, Sermon on the Mount, by the way, that there will be people that will do works in His name that don't know who He is. That's been going on in our political structure for a long time, but also in our faith-based structure. And Jesus made it clear, Matthew 22, 34 through 40, that the summation of the commands is to love God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. But the key there is you have to love God first. When it says this is the first and greatest commandment, that is then the first and greatest commandment. So the second one is like it, but the second one is not it. So you got to make that distinction. So now we're just closing it out with in the boat with God. Do we have a sound for this? We don't have a sound. We don't need a sound for this. Here's the thing. What is fellowship? Ready? I'm going to give you the definition of fellowship. Ready? Fellow. Ready? Ready? Fellow. Are you with me? Fellow. Like two people. Fellow. Ship, as in boat. Like tugboat Todd. It's two people in a boat. That's what a fellowship is. It's a ship that is joined by two or more. Oh. You're supposed to be in the same boat. You know what happens when you're in the boat on the water with somebody? You have to talk to them. There's not, where else are you going? There's, the fish aren't jumping up and going, hey, what's happening? You know, Charlie Tuna is not real. I'm just saying. So 1 Corinthians chapter, well, let's do the 1 John 1 through. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. Who's the fellowship with? The Father and the Son. Who's the fellowship with? The Father and the Son. 2 Corinthians 13, 14, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The what? The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. 1 John 1, 3 and 2 Corinthians 13, 14 make it clear that our fellowship is to be with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. That means you are in the boat with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In the same boat. You get it? That's the priority. All right, we'll close it out with what I think. Now, this is for me my fave, but this is me. Philippians 3, 7 and 9, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is it more? I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things, and consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Everything else is garbage compared to knowing Christ Jesus as your Lord. Everything else is garbage. It doesn't say everything else is garbage compared to knowing of God. It's everything is garbage compared to knowing God. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit. Are you Trinitarians? Well, yeah, we're evangelical, Bible-believing, born-again Christians. We believe in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We believe in one essence, three persons. It's not as hard as everybody tries to make it out to be. I mean, just you don't get mad at me. That's what it is. People say, well, what, how do you do a picture on that? Well, you could do your brain, your heart, and your body are all you. You could do it. You don't have to do it. I'm just saying you could do it. Some people do an egg. Some people do a clover. You know what, really? How about water, steam, and liquid? What are all those? You know, it's like liquid, steam, and ice. They're all water. You know what I'm saying? It's like, whatever. I don't care. You're just supposed to have fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You and God in a boat. So, I know it sounds like, and that's how you base your fellowship with others. Because you and God are in the boat, and then other people get in the boat with you, and then you're all fellowshipping. The relationship that you have with God here is almost the only lively element you'll take into the after. Now, you will have rewards for the works that you do in the kingdom, but the only thing you're going to take active between now and eternity is you and your connection with God. So there's no excuse not to be working on it. There's no excuse not to be doing it. There's no reason why you can't participate in it. There is access 24/7. You have the opportunity to talk to God through prayer, the opportunity to hear God through his word, the opportunity to fellowship with God through his people. It's all right there. And if you say, well, Dave, I can't get to a fellowship and because I'm unable to, I get that. But that doesn't mean you can't be talking to God, and that doesn't mean you can't be hearing God. And that doesn't mean you can't be praying and involved in ministry. So I understand, but it's not an end to anything. You know when you're done? Never, because then he'll call you up and you'll be in fellowship with God. So you're never done. That's the most important thing. Make first things first in your life. Have a relationship with God to make sure eternity is right. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 70-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.